Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
We're going to jump on into things. Want to just welcome everybody. If you're a new caller, if you've never joined, or if you're new to listening to the recording, want to thank you for taking the time out of your active schedule and tuning in. I know that today with Maggie McKee on the line, you won't be disappointed at all. And we're also, at the end of the call, we're going to open it up about, 25, 30 minutes from now. Our goal is to open it up for a little bit of Q&A. If you've taken the time to read the article that's in the latest Nikken Family Magazine on Maggie, you'll have a little bit more of an idea. And hopefully that have stirred up some questions that, maybe occupational backgrounds are similar, or you want to hear more about, her chronic, ailments, whatever the case may be. So if you got a question, say that, and we'll do our best to get that in at the end of the call. So, and also, after we're done with Maggie, just want to remind everybody that we'll open up the line for questions that may not be related to today's discussion or to Maggie at all, and that's one of the things we always try to do, so that will be available at the end. So, on that note, Maggie, you're still with me, correct?
I am, Vance.
There we go. I always have to say that, because if there's this long pause and I panic, you go, uh-oh, what did I do wrong? Well, first of all, Maggie, you were with us a few months ago, actually about a year ago, and I was completely taken when I got to hear you speak for the first time up at an event in northern Seattle. And here was this newcomer to me, and yet not to Nikken at all. And people were just going, oh, yeah, you can't wait to hear Maggie. Can't wait to hear Maggie. And, oh, wow, okay, this is going to be fun. And definitely you bring a lot to the table as far as character, as far as knowledge, and so many other things. And for the people that are on the line right now or listening to the recording that have never heard who Maggie McKee is, fill us in. Take us back, pre-Nikken days. And tell us about the farm girl from Canada.
Thanks, Vance. Yeah, I was, as it says in the article that was in the Family Magazine, I grew up on a farm in southern Ontario, Canada, and went off to university thinking that the grass was greener, and found very quickly that, things are very different when you don't live in a farming community and, you're out in the world making your way. But I did become a teacher. I spent almost 30 years in high school and college teaching. And I loved many aspects of teaching. It's an honorable profession. It gave me an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of many young people, and when at the college level, obviously of all ages. And the thing that I found very challenging and wanted to change was the whole education system and how it's not necessarily geared to encourage people to be the best they can be. It's not about humans being more. It's really about, getting people in through a system and out the other side, making sure that as much as possible that they're geared up to get a good job. And that's the training is about working for somebody else and not being an entrepreneur, not being self-employed. And there were many great aspects to that. But what along the way, shortly after I left the farm, actually, I started to have chronic back pain. And I dealt with that the best way I could until I was 33, and then I had a very invasive surgery. I was in a body cast for 14 months with a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old and no home care. It was a very challenging time, as you can imagine. And that gave me a chance to really sit back from the busy life that I'd engaged in and think about what is life all about? What do I really, really want? And I knew I wanted more, but, I couldn't find a way to get there. I couldn't find a way to get out of the box I'd created, and I didn't know what another opportunity would be like that would, sustain me. So as it happens, when the teacher is looking around for people who are students like me looking, the connection happens. And it was 15 years after that experience that my dearest friend, Carolyn Keith, introduced me to Nikken, because she too had some chronic hip and back problems. And, she was just absolutely amazed how quickly her body responded and healed itself with the Nikan technology. So she introduced me. I became absolutely enamored with the whole concept of what Nikan was offering. It was the five pillars of health, in addition to the relief, of course, on a physical level. I looked at the five pillars of health and I went, this is where I belong. And it's what I've been, you know, attempting in 30 years to put into the school system, a more holistic approach. And here it was in a beautiful package. And when I met Mr. Masuda, that whole energy that he infused into Nikan right from the beginning was even more palpable. But I felt it right from the beginning. I felt the heart of Nikan, I guess. I wouldn't have been able to put it into words 18 years ago when that was introduced to me, Vance, but, you know, through the journey of being so captivated with the concept and the success I had with the products in a very short period of time, and then the success in the business, I was just taken. I just, there was no other path. Within 3 years, I actually walked into the president of the college's office and said, I'm leaving because I can't be here anymore. And that was a tenured position. So I had a lot of criticism for that, but I have never regretted that decision. Was I ever scared? Yes. But it was, I knew in my heart that that was where I needed to go. I needed to be sharing what Nikan had with as many people as possible because it is so, it's just so beautiful. It's so rich. It's so worthwhile.
What advice, Maggie, because a lot of people get introduced to Nikan, get introduced to the world of network marketing, and all of a sudden think, oh, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And that should be our response, especially when we see Nikan, although it's not for everybody. But 3 years after its introduction, obviously you experienced what we all get to experience if we're willing to jump in with an open mind as far as the solutions, what they can do to our physical bodies, and you experienced that. As far as the financial wellness, that package that comes with it, how do you, even with working with somebody today, say, do you have a plumb line or a gauge that, you know, will be an indicator that, okay, once you get this going and it's rolling along, when's a good time to, you know, walk into your boss and say, you know, as Dennis Williams so eloquently puts it, take this job and shove it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you gauge that? I mean, because I would, it's not that I wouldn't want that for everybody, because I truly know, having been in Nikan now for coming up on 21 years and thoroughly enjoyed the last almost 19 years full time, how do we encourage and what's the word I'm looking for? I guess that plumb line. What's the gauge to know this is the time to really go for it?
Well, I think it is different for different folks. And for me, Vance, because I always joke, I was institutionalized. You know, I was used to all my benefits, holidays, time off, and so on. My plumb line was that I needed to be making consistently over at least a 6 month period more in Nikan than I was in my day job. Okay. Well, it wasn't just a day job. You know, the teaching goes on, but, that was my gauge. And I felt even with that, you know, because when you're self-employed or, you know, we work for ourselves with Nikan, there's no security, and there's no security in the other world either, but I didn't know that at the time because I'd always had a job. It was, you know, not that difficult when I went into the teaching profession to get a job and just change jobs and go where you wanted. So for me, I needed that security just to know that I was making the right decision for my family as much as for me, because, you know, I have, at that time, my two sons were finishing high school and into college, and that's a big responsibility to be supporting kids in university here. So that, you know, I think everybody has to make that decision themselves, but I don't encourage people to leave their day job until they have enough of a team, I guess. That's the other thing, how many people on their team, what's the future look like. So I can sit down with people and say, you know, from my experience, is this an appropriate time for you to do that or not? But some people, you know, their job is just so untenable that they must leave to save their soul, if you like. So I'm not going to stop anybody from doing that, but I will say to them, you need to have your bases covered before you do that, unless you're absolutely convinced that you can give this what it takes to build a good solid income.
And you know what's interesting is I think about I think that event that we were at that I first heard the statement from Pat Carey, who shared that, you know, our culture in North America 100 years ago, 95% of us were self-employed,
mm-hmm.
and only 5% worked for somebody else's dream, and now today it's flip-flopped, and that it's scary. It really is scary. And you had said that you realized as an educator that the system was really broken.
Yes.
It truly is. We've got really, really highly educated baristas at Starbucks today and a multitude of other professions. And these young people have amazing minds and amazing degrees. And yet, because they were just, as you said, you know, just kind of pushed through. I'm curious because you had an opportunity that most wellness consultants never do, and that was to meet the founder of the company, the gentleman that put this all in motion back in 1975, Isamu Masuda. What? Tell us more about that, and how did that come about?
Well, I had seen Mr. Masuda on several occasions at Nikken conventions. One was in Toronto, Canada, in the late 90s, and when I was in, I think it was Minneapolis, we had an opportunity to meet him up close, in other words, have a Nikken Masuda hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fairly new in the business at that time, and I was curious as to this lineup of people who were standing waiting for a hug from Mr. Masuda. But as I had heard his story, and I just felt so connected to his vision, I was in that line as well, and I actually have a picture, so I'm looking at it right now, of myself with Mr. Masuda that someone took, fortunately, right after that hug. And I didn't know what to expect other than that there was an energy that you could feel. And it was interesting, the closer I came to his physical being, the more palpable that energy was, and the hug was basically indescribable then. This is a man of not very tall. Like he's, you know, he's maybe an inch or two taller than I am, and I'm 5'5". And he literally put his arms around me and lifted me off the ground with the hug. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And then he did the same thing to my partner, who was about, you know, 190 pounds. And I thought, this is an incredible man. And it just locked in something for me that has never left me. I this picture is here in my living room. I look at it every day because he is such an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years later, I had an opportunity to meet the Dalai Lama, and it's very similar energy. You know, there's a love there that is so huge and so palpable that I wish everyone could have that opportunity because it is something that never leaves one.
I think going back to my literally elevator experience meeting for the first time, I think the word that comes to my mind is selfless, completely selfless and right. Wanting to, and we see these in people like the Dalai Lama or other, celebrity is not a good word to use to describe these folks, but people who have truly said, you know, I want to make a difference in the world, whatever it takes, I want to be unstoppable, and I just seriously want to give back and invest into others, the opposite of what you described as the education system,
mm-hmm.
completely the other perspective, not to push young people through or just to shove them out the other end, but invest in them to let them know that, hey, you've been given a gift. Let's go do something with it. Let's link up arm in arm and run together. I mean, that was my first time meeting him in an elevator in Seattle, Washington.
Absolutely, Vance. And I mean, that energy, that selflessness, that vision is so needed in this world. And, you know, we are basically invited by Mr. Masuda to be to be part of that and to reach our hand out, if you like, in a not necessarily in a physical sense, but to people who have that ache in their heart of how can I be more in this lifetime, and where's the vehicle, where's the bridge? I can't just stay where I am, but I don't know where to go. And Nikan is so beautifully presented the five pillars, because we can help people in whatever area they have a need, and often, unfortunately, it is the physical. More and more now with that is the chronic financial pain, and that's something that we have the answer for, and people who are looking for us will be attracted to us as long as we're out there with our open hearts, with our selflessness, offering that gift to others, and finding those that are ready.
So in other words, what you're saying is we can't just do the premier package with Nikan, get the website, and just wait for people to be dialing us up, jumping all over us and friending us on Facebook and tweeting us all the time on Twitter. We've actually got to be out there in the public. That was my next question. I'm thinking back to hearing you speak a couple times and the experiences you've had, encouragement for people who maybe we've been at this for 12, 15 years or, 12, 15 days or a few months. How do we meet people? How do we get out there and, make it all happen? Because, when did you start? And let me ask you this, your diamond run, because you've been in a while, and where did you find the people to plug into the right slots to make it all happen?
For diamonds?
Yeah.
Well, right from the beginning, I had very little time at the beginning, I was a full-time instructor, and I was also a full-time post-grad student, and I lived in a remote area in northern British Columbia, basically a logging area, and if I looked at it logically, there was no way I could find the time or the energy to do what I wanted to do. However, there was something about a calling, there was something about this is where I need to go regardless, and the obstacles didn't matter. So in the cracks of time that I had, I just had conversations with people, and that hasn't changed. I find people absolutely fascinating. And so wherever I go, whether I'm sitting on the train here going out somewhere, or I'm sitting on a park bench or walking around or doing my favorite things, just doing life and being open and being a beacon so that people do feel comfortable approaching me is how I've always built my business, on relationships and on discovering who is this beautiful person standing in front of me or sitting beside me. And I love the statement, I can't remember which training it was, it says, instead of being interesting, be interested. So being interested in people wherever you go, especially when you're doing your favorite things, like I do yoga and I talk to people in the yoga group, I belong to different networking groups. It's doing what I love and creating from that relationships that whether they end up as, part of Nikan or not is basically irrelevant. So from the beginning, letting go of the expectation and letting go of the outcome that I'm out to get something. No, I'm out to receive. I'm out to offer a gift to people if it feels as though there is an interest and a need there. So it's building that interest, building that need.
It literally is going back to being selfless, not seeking something for ourselves, but finding out, being interested definitely in other people and where they're at, and asking more questions is what
Yes.
you're saying. Okay. Tell us about one of the people that pushed you over, and then I want to open it up for questions here. You went diamond six golds or three platinum?
Three platinums.
Okay, so tell us about one of those silvers that broke out, and when you and I chatted the other day, I was curious if you'd done reach diamond the old-fashioned way, which was, roll up your sleeves and actually break out silvers, or because of our new compensation plan literally got promoted because you had the people in the right legs. And either way, is completely acceptable and completely fine. And yet I was curious if I just opened up a can of worms, you're going, what is he talking about? To ask that question later to me and I'll explain it again. We covered this last week on the compensation plan kind of expose. And, but you worked with a bunch of people to get them to silver. Tell us one and what was in it for them. Just any, pick one, we don't care. A story that was really, really fun to help them get to silver, which bumped one of your people to platinum, which in turn bumped you to diamond.
Well, you know, it's hard to pick one because it was more of an interesting process. Always starting with the decision, you know. It started in May of last year in Orlando, seeing Bernadette McBurney, whom I had known for many years, reach the diamond level, and meeting with a bunch of platinums who were committed to going diamond and Royal Diamond, and talking with Julie Tara and just saying, wow, you know, like I look at my organization, there are only 3 silvers that are needed to create this diamond ship, and it's been that way for a while. So Julie, who's not my upline, but a wonderful support, said, well, let's just do it. So we invited Julie to come to Vancouver, in June, I think it was. So the next month, that's right, the next month after Orlando, she came out here and I had a lot of people, quote unquote, in the process. I'd been talking to a lot of people because I tend to do that. And so I just made a big event here, several big events while she was here that people could meet her and have conversations with her. And out of all of that momentum, 3 people, I explained what was happening and 3 people, I say volunteered basically to work with this plan. And so the first person was a gal that I had met through a networking event, and she had just started her own business as well, in dermatology, and she was very busy. She was opening a clinic, and she had a, you know, single mom with a young son who had some challenges with behavior and attention, but she saw something here, and she certainly saw something for her son. So she jumped in with both feet. Her son started to be way more focused, which made it easier for her. And we started, you know, having events in homes, bring, you know, people at her house, people at my house, and just built the momentum, always based on a really good rhythm. You know, your daily contacting and inviting, your weekly presentations, whether they're in homes or wellness previews or whatever you have, and building towards a major event. So In that 1 month, we created enough momentum in that very first month of July. And Vance, it was such a joy to wake up in the morning, July 1st, and Nikan had made the compensation plan a little easier for us. So I was pretty happy about that. So that first month, Estrelita is her name. Estrelita reached the silver level. So that made my frontline platinum because she was just one shy of silver. So that was very exciting. Mm-hmm. And then in August, I had a total hip replacement, so I did have to take a little downtime there, and came back in September and just kept the rhythm going, the momentum going, adding more people, and the second person reached the silver level. And then I thought, you know, we were going to be done in October or, you know, even September, and I guess there were a few more things that we all needed to put in place and learn. So it was the end of November that the third person reached silver, and that was a real nail biter. You know, it just was one of those things that just didn't seem to happen as easily as we had thought. And it was about the third week of the month where, you know, a lot of people really reached those challenges and just didn't seem to be coming together. And what I realized, Vance, this is a big aha for me and probably the reason why it was important for things to slow down a bit. I realized that my ego had got ahead of my spirit.
Okay.
And so there was this, I don't know, this really interesting grinding that happened until I realized, wow, my goodness, I'm making this about me, and that is not what Nikan is about. So once I got myself back in the right place where, you know, ego was serving spirit rather than the other way around, because you know, you need your ego to be out there and that sort of thing, but it needs to be in service of the bigger vision. And once that happened in that last week, literally magic happened, because we were coming along and people just appeared, literally. I had my yoga instructor, for instance, she had seen my recovery and was just quite amazed. And she said, "What is it?" She said, "Well, come on down. You know, we live in the same building. Come on over and have a look." She came in and she left with a complete wellness home. I mean, when does this happen, right? And, you know, and then another gal at on LinkedIn, you know, online, I said, "Let's have coffee. We have a lot in common." And then she came over and she got a complete wellness. I mean, it was just a series of miracles. But the final one was very interesting. We were about 1,500 points short. We had all our seniors in place and everything, but we were a few points short. And I just decided to try and leverage some of the sleep system coupons that we had at that time. And I put out the word and I called and nothing happened. And I'm sitting at my desk, and this sounds really strange, I'm sure, but this little voice in my head said, "Call George." And I thought, George? George has been a sober forever. He's got more sleep systems. He's got more kids, more sleep systems than anybody I know. So what on earth would he want a sleep system for? But I thought, well, okay, I'll call George. I called George and he said, "Yeah, I've got somebody looking at one, so let me check with them and get back to you." 5 minutes later, he calls me back and I said, "Wow, that was quick. Did these people want a sleep system?" He says, "No," he said, "but I decided I wanted to take you to Diamond, so I'm buying one anyway."
You know, what is so simple and yet so complex of what you just described and that telling that whole story of the Diamond Run is that it comes back to what Julie Tara said is, hey, let's just go for it. You made a decision, let's go for it. And I keep thinking that so often we've allowed our culture to, again, going back to what you said at the beginning, this broken system that, well, we can't go for it. Because we need to stay in these ruts, because it's safe, and that's what we do. And yet, so many entrepreneurs, they just went for it. They came up with an idea or a plan or a business, or they didn't want to work for somebody else's dream, and they just made that decisive decision. And that's what makes people unstoppable, is you make that decision, you go for it. But you really nailed it, needing to be in the service of others. That whole ego and spirit, so incredibly crucial. And that, I think, again, I'm looking at the article and I'm remembering these things that you've taught me, and the fact that, hey, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about going out there. And in your yoga instructor, you had no idea, or this person that you met, was the instructor or another classmate?
Yeah, the yoga instructor and then the gal on LinkedIn. I mean, there was just a whole series of miracles like that.
But you had no idea that they were even looking or even remotely open.
That's right.
and that happens. And, you know, you take me back to, oh goodness, it's been 13 years for us when we went Diamond, but old news. Because we were two silvers away. And under this new plan, and you mentioned something, my last question, and I want to open it up and for folks that have a question, is our compensation plan, and I don't need to call it new anymore because we're 2 weeks into it officially being the way it is, and with the silver at 12K versus 20K, we've had that for a year, and I think a lot of us, maybe we didn't really believe it. Maybe we were pinching ourselves going, could it be so true? That it's only 12 instead of 20. And I love the fact that that was a surprise to you as it was to all of us. And the timing of it couldn't be more perfect. And yet it still took you several months to find the right people or for those people to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you encourage folks today who aren't silver, or maybe who are looking to take other people to that journey, so they can advance and get their, you know, reach their goals and, you know, to gold, to platinum and beyond. 12K. What, it's our culture's changed from when you and I both went silver, you know, decades ago, at 20K. Is that a really big hurdle, or what's the way to chip away at that or break it down?
The 12K?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's such a more understandable plan, because really it's three executives, if, you know, to break it down to the simplest, because executive member used to be 5,000 points, now it's 4,000. So three people who come in, and this is the ideal scenario, and say, gosh, I just love everything here. I want to get the day pack, the environment pack, the sleep pack, and a few extra products for my family, and, you know, get this business rolling. So that's the simplest plan, and that's kind of how there's always a variation on that. So you might have one person in that month who does that, and, you know, other people who come in with the day pack and build on that. It's not the counting of the points that's as important as the vision. Again, going back to why. Why do people want this? What is it going to bring to their lives that they don't already have? Because without that motivation, it's easy not to do this business. We're all busy. It's easy to say, oh, it's a great idea, and to get all excited at an event, hearing somebody talk about their journey. But when it comes down to the day-to-day, getting every day, putting your, you know, your heart out there and meeting people and getting to that rhythm of a regular daily method of operation that's going to result in the end goal, it's a challenge, because it's not just a physical challenge, it's our whole cultural training. It's a different path. And, you know, when we first started, as you know, Vance, I mean, especially in Canada, we weren't even allowed to call the magnets magnets. Canada wouldn't let us do that. That's how crazy it was. So we had to first of all work on our own belief system and have a really strong why that's beyond self, so that when we are in that inviting mode, when we're out there with this great gift for people, we really do attract people who are willing to do the work of changing a lot of beliefs, a lot of paradigms about business, about work, about income, and about life in general, and what, you know, what is possible. A lot of people, they have put their dreams so far under the dust covers and the accumulated, you know, defeats in their life that spark is pretty dim. So we really need to help people ignite that spark of what do they really want in life, not what are they told they can have, and to build the character along the way to sustain that absolute true north on our vision, so that no matter what happens along the way, we don't fall off. And if we do fall off momentarily, we get up and we move forward again. And I don't think I could have done that without the support of the Nikan family. It's not about being, you know, a solopreneur all by myself. This is about a movement to me. It's about, this is who we really are, Vance. You know, we really are designed to work together. We really are designed to be self-employed, although that wouldn't have been a word years ago. We're designed to create our own vision and carry that through, so that we have a legacy for our children that's more than just, you know, on your tombstone, it was written, I was a teacher. You know what I mean? It's
right.
About who we become.
Right. And you added something here again that I want to make sure we realize is so crucial, and that is it's got to be a team effort. We have to allow that Nikan family, and you mentioned this in the article, that using the ABC structure of edifying other people, utilizing tools, and not saying it's all about us and our ability. And I think about the call I made yesterday that completely bombed. and it's fine. It's a friend, and he wasn't interested, but we're still going to get together for coffee in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. But he wasn't interested in what Nikan had to offer. Does he need it? Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Him and his family, they hugely need what we have to offer. But he said, no, Vance, I don't think I'm interested. I went, okay, you know, but let's still get together for coffee. Mm-hmm. But one of the things afterwards, I'm sitting here beating myself up going, what did I do wrong? What did I do? It wasn't I did anything wrong. But one of the things I didn't do was, as you've, again, beautifully illustrated, is utilizing that team, allowing other people to be the part of the structure. And then that way the celebration is that much more.